Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Still the best we can do, I'm afraid. Hello, welcome to episode 11 of Ruthie, Me and My Dad. Ruthie, hello, welcome.
Yeah, welcome. Yeah. Hello.
Hello, welcome.
I think episode 11 will be the best because you're a little bit sick.
Yes.
So, I'll be talking more.
And when you say I'm a little bit sick, you don't mean in the sense you used sick last week, you mean very good.
Oh, no.
Actual, literally
gosh,
sick.
Keep up.
Yeah, no, I have a bit of a flu and a sore throat, but in standard man style, I've come straight out to do the podcast.
Powering on.
Powering on, indeed. Mm-hmm. Well, Ruthie, first of all, the first thing I'd like to say to you is your determination inspires me. I can't imagine my life without you.
This is from some cockamamie Guardian article, isn't it?
No, this is from some cockamamie... No, it's even more cockamamie than the Guardian. This is from some cockamamie website, which said 33 things every dad should say to raise strong, empowered daughters. Well, I would say you're already pretty empowered, but there are 33 things I should say to you every day.
Every day? All 33? I don't think you say 33 things...
Well, maybe not all 33 in one day. There's no shame, Ruthie, in recognising when you need help and asking for it. Always be your biggest advocate. This is one that if I was to say this, you would curl up in embarrassment.
Oh, no, can you not then?
This is number 28. Number 28 is, I love hanging out with you.
Thing is, though, a lot of those are just a bit common sense. Do you know what I mean? Like, obviously... Like,
well, it's actually saying them.
Why can't people just know them?
Yeah, precisely. This is for Americans, and obviously... So obviously for Americans, they need to be told. I'm supposed to say, I'm so proud of you. Your effort... Ruthie,
yeah, but it's better if you don't say those things every day, because if you say them every day, then they kind of lose... They lose their... What do you call it?
Impact.
Oh, I was going to say gravity. Gravitas.
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 Also, another website I went on was...
Wow, you've been surfing the web.
I certainly have. Well, you know we had an internet problem, which you...
Oh, we did. Yeah.
Which you didn't mind telling me about several hundred times. So
it was No, because it didn't affect you as much, Dad, because your bedroom still had internet, but my bedroom did not have internet.
I know.
I've read loads, though.
Yes. Well, there you go.
I actually have.
Now
I'm into my book. This is the thing that it was good for, because... So I'm reading The Handmaid's Tale. By Margaret Atwood. And so I wasn't into it because I just hadn't been, like, giving myself the time to read. You know, because once you're, like, 50 pages into a book, you like it. And so not having the internet made me get into it. And now I'm into it. Even though I have the internet, I'll still read it.
Yeah. Are you enjoying it?
Yeah, really. I like it so much. So it's about, like, a dystopian near future where... kind of religious order has taken over and women are subservient to men, but also men are not allowed the same freedoms and sex is only for like the procreation of children. The commanders have wives, but the wives don't have children with them. They have handmaids.
Yeah. Well, when I got the internet back, I did look up 8 things not to say to your teenage...
Oh, we'll see... You can say them and we'll see if you have actually said any of these to me before.
I don't think I have, actually.
What are they, like?
Well, except number one. the first thing you never say is, how was school today?
Oh, every single day. I walk in and, like, everyone will relate to just being tired. It's been a long day. Soon as you get in, how was school today? What? It was just school, like,
yes,
just
I know,
normal.
I know. And another thing we should never say is, if you keep this up, you're never going out of the house again.
Because I don't think you've ever said that.
No, we don't say
you're
that.
You're not really authoritarian.
No, an idle threat is never a good idea. Although we do, we have issued idle threats, which, you know, no way are they ever going to be enacted upon. Anyway, as we've established, I have a wee bit of a throat today. So, Ruthie, it's over to you.
What's
on your mind?
See, I've not been able to surf the web because I haven't had the internet.
We've had it for the last couple of days. Go on, what have
We're having a bit of a, not a heat wave, but it's got hot.
It's got warm.
It's got
hot
quick.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was very cold before.
That's true.
And so, I feel like you hear a lot about climate change all the time, but this is about how use for air conditioners and other methods of cooling, are expected to jump 90% on 2017 levels. So soon we're going to live in a world where, like, houses in the UK have air conditioning the same as they do in America. Mm. And this is the biggest, like, it's a massive problem because it just means carbon emissions are going to, like, absolutely soar.
Mm. The good news is, though, if the levels of the oceans, level of the sea rises, we have chosen to live in the most landlocked area of the UK.
Yeah, you true, know, true. We're like the furthest away from sea or something, aren't we?
We're the furthest away you can get in the UK. Yeah,
in the UK, from sea.
So that's marvellous. It means that
all you buggers can drown.
Yes, it means that Norfolk will disappear and Lincolnshire.
But I've never been to Norfolk or Lincolnshire.
You have been to Norfolk. We drove through it when we went to Great Yarmouth.
Oh, yay.
That's in Suffolk.
When we went to Great Yarmouth,
Bury St Edmunds we went through and all those places in Norfolk.
If anyone's seen the programme Hotel Inspectors, So it's a programme with Alex Polizzi. And she visits...
No, that wasn't Great Yarmouth. That's when we went to Margate.
Sorry. See, we've been on so many bad seaside holidays. I get confused.
I love the seaside.
So we went to Margate, which is like Blackpool for people in London.
Yeah, sort of.
Yeah. And we went there. And so Alex Polizzi does a programme called Hotel Inspectors, where she visits eccentric hoteliers. And she tells them basically how they should fix their hotels to make them profitable enterprises.
Mm.
And... we stayed in one of the hotels that had been on Hotel Inspector and it had not changed. Because I recognised it from the programme.
Yes, you did. It was a classically bad British hotel, wasn't it?
And it had like antiques in it. So there was like antique dolls watching you sleep and stuff. And like Victorian nightgowns in the corridors and stuff. It was so
weird.
It
was pretty spooky. I can't remember the name of the hotel. Which is
and they gave you like butter and curls. On the morning.
Oh, that's good. Buttering curls. There's nothing wrong with that.
I want my butter in a packet. Plastic. That's how I want everything to come.
No, you don't. You don't. That's
no,
the
no,
whole
I don't.
Thing.
I don't.
Mm. Well, let's do one of our regular features now, and let's transition. When I say let's transition, I mean let's play this. Yeah, this is the bit.
How would you know that we were transitioning if we didn't?
Well, precisely. This is a bit where I try and introduce you to a bit of music from the past. And you introduce me to a bit of music that's current. And we'll start with you this week, because we normally start with me, which is very controlling. So we'll start with you. What are we playing? We've only 20 seconds for...
Copyright purposes.
Review purposes.
Oh, review purposes, right.
Yeah, 20 seconds for review purposes. So what are we playing?
Lord did a song called Perfect Places.
And who are Lord?
Woman. Single person.
Oh, it's just a person. Lord,
she's just a person. She did, that Royals song. It's like, you can't put this in, but and we'll never be royal. You can call me Queen Bee. So this is a song by Lord called Perfect Places. And First Aid Kit, a Swedish girl band, like folk girl band, have done a cover of it. So that's what I've got.
Yeah.
Two of them, yeah. Duo.
And it's called Perfect Places, yeah?
Yeah.
Here's 20 seconds.
I hate the headlines and the weather. I'm 19, I'm on fire, but...
Just another graceless night. Are you lost enough? Have another drink, get lost enough. This is how we get. It's not really introducing me to anything, that, because obviously I'm very familiar with country music, and that's sort of classic. It's almost classic back to the roots country music, isn't it?
Yeah, but if you heard the original of Lord Perfect Places,
it's completely changed it.
Oh my gosh, completely. And I wanted to play something that wasn't... So we've had
rap
2 weeks in a row, so I thought we'll do something that's not rap at all.
But I'm familiar with First Aid Kit. They're Swedish, as you say.
Swedish, yeah.
Two girls.
Yeah.
And they're about 19 or 20 years
old.
Yeah,
really young, like 19, 20.
It's brilliant. They are absolutely brilliant.
They're so good. I would love to go and see them live. Yeah.
I've heard them on Six Music playing Emmy Lou, which is a fabulous track. And that's got the standard sort of pedal steel guitar, country music instrumentation. Really, really good. Well, I'm going to go back to an era pre-Beatles again, and this is doo-wop. Are you familiar with doo-wop?
Like doo-wop, doo-wop?
Well, sort of, but are you familiar with it as a genre?
No, it's kind of like in Greece.
No. Oh, you mean the film Greece?
Yeah, the film Greece. Oh, do you think I meant Greece the country?
I thought you meant sort of, that's a different sort of music. Although I've got some of that, which I could play. But no, we'll play a little bit of doo-wop, which is basically, Greece would be the latter end of doo-wop. The sort of early 60s, early to mid-60s end of doo-wop. But it started in the 30s and 40s, sort of late 30s, 40s, groups like the Mills Brothers. And basically, it was usually four black guys, and they used to call it under the lamplight music sometimes, because they would stand on street corners, and they would usually under a lamplight, right, on a street corner, mm-hmm. four black guys from, you know, the projects, the ghetto, that sort of thing.
The projects, yeah. In my A Boogie with the Hoodie, there's a line that's like, we were in the projects, but now we're making projects or something.
Right. We'd call it council houses
or estates.
Yeah. So basically, it was four guys. One would sing very, very low. One would have a low voice down here. And one would have a high voice, which I can't do. And they'd sing a cappella. And it was starting in the 40s, as a group like the Mills Brothers, and there were others like that. Mm-hmm. And then it went into the 50s and in the late 50s. Now, I'll play this one. This is from the late 50s. And it's a guy called Jesse Belvin. And Good Night, My Love.
Good night, my love. Pleasant dreams and sleep tight, my love. May tomorrow be sunny and bright and bring you closer to me.
Yeah, you see, that was when it got a little bit more commercial, the end of the 50s. They weren't singing a cappella anymore, and you had the voices in the background, you know, doing the awoe, awoe sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. It's very nice. Yeah, really
it's,
nice.
It's beautiful, isn't it? But mm-hmm. all I've got several doo-wop albums at home.
Oh, I can't wait to get stuck into them.
Yes, and I have, and you can get stuck into them. But it's great stuff, and it was particularly popular the East Coast of the United States, so New York, Baltimore, Boston, places like that, where, you know, I suppose where they had large black populations there.
Mm. So what years was this?
Well, it started in the late 1930s. Black guys...
Old.
But that was from 1959.
That was from 1959.
So by the time it got to sort of the mid-50s, they were, you know, adding instrumentation. It wasn't a cappella anymore. It was, it was pop music, basically. Mm-hmm. And that was with the pop music that was probably a sort of period that Greece comes from. They were sort of trying to recreate that a bit. But Greece was more rock and roll, to be honest. Rock and roll grew out of doo-wop, really.
Right.
That's our music spot for this week. Right, what else is on your mind? You had loads of stuff.
So, loads. do you want to keep up with the Kardashians? I thought we'd take us back to our Kardashian roots.
Mm.
Kim Kardashian and Kanye West. The people we all know and love.
Kanye.
So, Kanye...
See how I'm saying it now? As if to the manner born. If nothing else comes out of this podcast, the fact that I can say Kanye now...
No, you said it wrong then.
Kanye. Yeah, I can say Kanye now. Without.
Yeah, that was bad.
And Burger King.
It's not great, but it's getting there. Okay, so Kanye left Twitter for a while because he was having some mental health issues, which is quite sad actually. He had to, like, I think he cancelled like tours and stuff. Anyway, it was not good. But now he's back on Twitter, his eagerly awaited return.
Oh, good.
And so he's been tweeting some quite vague, axioms almost.
Oh, you mean like sayings and
like sayings,
proverbs?
Yeah, proverbs. Yeah, he's been trying some quite vague, weird proverbs. So he tweeted like, "Trend is always late," and one of the ones he said he tweeted was, "Sometimes you have to get rid of everything." And so Kim Kardashian, his wife, has tweeted back at him and has kind of roasted him a bit, and she said, "Wait, everything." And so Chrissy Teigen, do you know who Chrissy Teigen is?
No, I don't.
So she's married to John Legend, and she's an actress, and I think she sings a bit and whatever. And she's like, "Wear everything," and then Chrissy Teigen says, "I have an air mattress here, and I've been itching to bust it out if you need it, you know, because if you have to get rid of everything." And then they've both just been roasting Kanye, and everyone's been loving this. It's been a slow week in terms of Kardashian news.
Now, is that it for Keeping Up with the Kardashians?
Yeah, I mean, Khloe might be on her way back to LA. Kim Kardashian posed topless in a picture, and everyone was like, "Oh, Kim, that happened." But not been any scandals like the whole Travis Scott Kylie thing.
Oh, the Travis Scott Kylie thing.
So yeah,
outrageous.
Or any Tristan Thompson.
No,
stuff.
Well, we'll just keep an eye on all that for us.
Yeah,
and
keep you updated.
Do keep us updated, whatever you do.
So, from one massive, world-dominating force of the Kardashians to another, the Nazis.
Good.
Good
transition.
I read a meme.
Is this meme of the week?
This is not meme of the week.
Right,
this is just a transitional meme.
Right.
So, I saw a meme that basically said that only 54% of adults even know what the Holocaust is. I was like, no, that's not true. That can't be true. More than half of people don't even know what the Holocaust is. And so I started Googling and stuff, and Geraldine Schwartz had written an article on the 18th of April, which is today, about how the Nazis...
Who's Geraldine Schwartz? Just a journalist?
A journalist for The Guardian, I think, and she has Nazi heritage. So her great-granddad was...
Yeah, a Nazi.
And she feels very strongly about people remembering it and saying, condemning what her family did. And so she'd written an article about how, like, Naziology is taking over again. So she was saying that basically the whole of Europe is susceptible to this Nazi ideology because people are just forgetting. So she went to the Congress of the Defenders of Europe, which is a far-right meeting thing. She had to go under a fake name because they don't allow press there. And so she was saying that Andre Poggenberg, who was the leader of the German right party, I think, called for a jerksit.
Jerksit?
Like Grexit or Brexit, but...
Oh, Germany. Jerksit. What a great name.
Yeah.
See, I think if we'd have called it Jerksit instead of Brexit, there'd be more people in favour of it. Come on, it's Jerksit.
So Jerksit, and said people are overly scared of the word Negro and stuff like that, and like obviously like really terrible things. And she,
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Said that more and more people are forgetting what the Holocaust was, and it's important that we must always remember it. And then the Boston Globe did an article entitled "Never Forget, But We Are Forgetting." And there was another survey saying in 2013, and this was the survey I think the meme was based on, and it was in 2013 more than 53,000 people were surveyed and only 54% of the world's adults had heard of the Holocaust.
And that comes out as, when you say it's a meme, basically that appears on the internet and then people retweet it. Does it appear as a Twitter, as a tweet?
No, Instagram.
It appears on Instagram,
but
it's just the words. So the meme would be on Instagram, 53% of the world have forgotten the Holocaust or something like that.
So that's not like a traditional meme. Most memes are like a picture and something.
So there's no picture there. That was just the...
It was a bit longer than that. She was talking about alternative media who have changed public opinion into saying that it was... that the people who do believe in it also feel like it's been overly dramatised and that it was definitely should be downplayed because it wasn't as big a thing as people make it out to be, because that's how, like, alternative media has produced it. And I just thought it was really interesting that this was... You'd think that nowadays, when we've got the most access to... the most freedom of press and the most access to whatever information we want and statistics and figures... that now would be when people would never deny the Holocaust, but it seems like actually it's turning...
I suppose as things go into, as things drift further into the past, that's people are more likely to forget these things, because what you haven't got now are lots and lots of people talking about it and saying what went on. Mm-hmm. See, when I was growing up in the 60s, the woman across the road from us, Mrs. Swan, she had, or Mrs. Schwan would have been her original name, she had the numbers on her arms tattooed. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's no denial. Somebody comes and shows you sort of their concentration camp number actually tattooed on their arm.
Yeah, there's no arguing.
There's no arguing. And, we're talking about 40 years ago. There would have been 40, 50 years ago. There would have been lots of people like that.
And so I think...
So it doesn't surprise me one little bit.
This forgetting of the Holocaust and of the Nazis is even more dangerous because it's lending ourselves to having these far-right parties. There was a 12.6% majority for Germany's far-right party. I think,
but not here. Throughout Europe, you know, you do find far-right parties in Italy and Germany,
Hungary
especially. You do find far-right parties with quite a level of support.
Like UK, 12.6% is is probably more support than Lib Dems.
Yeah, it probably is about that.
Just like massive support. And I just wonder why Britain have never had that kind of really strong far-right hold.
That's interesting. I mean, there are probably a variety of historical reasons for it, but we do have a royal family.
Surprisingly, I would have thought you, like knowing you, obviously knowing you as my father,
yes, indeed,
that you would be the least patriotic person ever, because you're not really, that's not really you. But whenever anyone talks about why we've never had a major communist party, why Marxist ideology is not really supported, you always say, well, it's because of our royal family, which is
not so much that. I have said to you lots of times that I think this is the greatest country in the world, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. In America, they'll put flags up all the time and say, you know, you always see a big stars and stripes outside people's suburban houses in America. Mm-hmm. But when I was growing up, because my grandparents were both sides of my grandparents had fled from persecution in Europe, you know, in their case Poland, what is now Ukraine, and because a lot of the people that were at synagogue, not that I was a regular attender at synagogue in any sense, but on those few occasions when I did go, there was always a prayer in the middle of the service where you gave thanks for Britain. And for the you really did, because Britain was a place of sanctuary, and it has been for years. You know, you gave thanks. I mean, it did give sanctuary to all these people from Eastern Europe, you know, Jews and non-Jews. The Hungarian Revolution in 1956, loads of Hungarians came and lived over here. So you would find in the middle of the service, there was a prayer, thanks for Great Britain, the royal family, and you would name them. You'd say, thank you for the Queen Mother, thank you for the Queen, thank you for Prince Philip. And you'd
ridiculous.
You'd go through the royal family. You didn't get down as far as Prince Charles, because then it gets on dodgy ground, but you would say, you know, you'd say thank you for the, well, certainly for the Queen and the Duke of Edinburgh.
Mm-hmm. You worry now, though, that we've been like that for so long. We've never had a time where there's not been a democracy, apart from arguably some people say Lloyd George in World War One was a dictator.
Do they?
Yeah, some people say that he gave a country what they never wanted, and took advantage completely of like this constitutional crisis and stuff.
Of course, because you're doing that at school.
Yeah, yeah.
I was going to say, you now, your knowledge of Lloyd George is much, much stronger now. I've got to tell this story.
Oh, this is so embarrassing.
When we went to Wales, another one of our...
We always go to all the best places.
Yeah, another one of our bad seaside holidays. This was at Aberystwyth. When we went to Wales, and we were driving through Lloyd George's birthplace that had a Lloyd George museum, I think somebody in the car, might have been me, might have been your mother, said, oh, there's a Lloyd George museum. And you thought about it for a bit in the back of the car there, and then said, why have they got a Boy George museum here? Was he born here?
No, I thought that Boy George must have been from Wales.
Ah, right, right.
But I just thought it's surprising that Boy George was from such a small, like, rural seaside town.
Well, you can forget about that, because he's actually from London, but of Irish heritage.
Oh.
George O'Dowd, I think his real name is.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think he's Irish, or his family's Irish.
Yeah.
And then, you see, Irish people came over there, gave sanctuary to Irish people.
Oh, yeah,
well.
Yeah, apart from, like, all those terrible, terrible things we did to them. Yeah. The potato famine.
Yeah, we have done terrible things. I mean, yeah, we have done terrible things. But what do you think about this? It worries me
that we've always been so rooted in democracy and we've always had that stability, that surely our communist time is coming.
Well, for a start, don't call me Shirley. And secondly, I just wondered what you make of these apologies that, you know, from time to time, somebody will demand in Parliament that the government apologises for what it did when we had an empire. You know, yeah, terrible things, maybe in India or in the Caribbean and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it, you know, to me, if it's history, it's important we know about it, but I can't see the point.
Yeah, but that's a way of knowing about it, is the apologies. And also, those people deserve an apology, and the people who did it to them might not be able to give that anymore because they're dead or whatever. And so giving an apology is just a recognition.
But I think, where do you stop? Do you
where
know what
do
I
you
mean?
Stop? Yeah,
where
yeah, I get
where
you.
Do you stop? Because you would be apologising every day.
No, you don't have to apologise to every person for everything. I think that an apology and a gesture from a government is a really powerful thing, and I would want one.
Hey, well, probably our smoothest transition yet. I was reading a story in the paper this morning.
Oh, is it the one about how cold shoulders are really in for summer?
No, you tell me about that one, and I'll tell you about mine.
So, bare shoulders.
Bare shoulders, not cold. The cold shoulder is different from the bare shoulder.
No, but you call it cold shoulders, I think so, sometimes. In
do
fashion.
You?
You call it giving someone the cold shoulder.
Yeah, you do.
But you call it a cold shoulder top as well, I think.
Do you really?
That's when they've got holes.
Ah, right. And you see, there's something I never knew. And that's what this is all about. This is all about you telling me something I didn't know.
So it's like top sleeve with a sleeve, but with a hole. Mm. I'll show you a picture.
And that's in, that wasn't the story I was referring to in the papers. But it's interesting that we had a newspaper here, and on the front page...
You can
page,
hear it rustle, authentic.
Yes, you can. There you go. It's authentic sound effects. And you had a whole load of interesting stuff on the front page about the Windrush generation, the new monthly migraine injection, you reduce the tax by half. And then we got the Labour Party, anti-Semitism row, all that on the front page of the paper. And the one thing that catches your eye is bare shoulders. Summer fashion. Hot dresses, bare shoulders, cool bags.
Oh, come on, you paint me as shallow.
You can't wait to read that, can you?
What are you implying?
Nothing. I'm implying that the Times did well there in managing to get the fashion thing on the front page and would probably have sold more papers as a result.
I wouldn't buy a paper.
Yeah, well, young people don't buy papers, do they? Would it? I mean,
sad.
Have you ever bought...
What is going to happen?
Well, what's going to happen is exactly what's happening now, is that you're all...
Everything just goes digital.
Everything's on the internet.
Yeah, but that's such a worry. I was reading The Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah.
Which, obviously, it's one of those books that really, like, plays on your mind. And she was working... They called them diskies, I think. And she was, like, transcribing books onto discs, you know, so it was all digital. But then someone can just delete them all, whereas if a book is really there, you have to burn a book, you know, you have to see it.
And what temperature do you have to burn a book at?
Fahrenheit 451.
Correct.
See, another book I've read.
And you were saying to me today, nobody talks about Fahrenheit anymore. Well, there you
That's
are.
That's the Fahrenheit. Only time. Why why must you always, you watch the news with Dad, and they'll say, so it's going to reach temperatures up to 26 degrees, and he'll say, that's over 80 Fahrenheit.
No, 79.
I don't need to know that.
Well, I'll tell you why. When I was
Why?
I'll tell you exactly why. When I first started what I laughingly call a career at Radio Hallam in Sheffield, I was reading the news, and at the end of the news, and at that point we'd only just changed over to Celsius, so when you gave the temperature out in Celsius or centigrade, whichever you want to call it, you also had to give the Fahrenheit equivalent. So you give me a temperature in Celsius and I can, like that, give you the Fahrenheit equivalent. Go on.
16
is 61. 16 Celsius, 61 Fahrenheit. Give me another one.
Is there like a method to working it out? You know, is it like...
Yeah, there was initially, and I forgot what the
like,
method
you know,
is.
Like, you know, when you can work out the...
kilometres and
oh,
miles.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I was going to say I'm working out like army time, like 1300 hours is 1 o'clock, because yeah. Take away 12.
You don't even need to think about that, though. Go on, give me another temperature in Celsius, and I'll give you Fahrenheit.
32
Celsius. Now, that is 90 in Fahrenheit. We're just under 90, about 89. Give me another
about
one. Well, it's close, so you can't do it exactly because of different scales.
12 Celsius
is 54 Fahrenheit.
This is not fun for anyone but you.
And I might have got that one wrong. 12, I can't quite remember. It never got as high as 12 in Sheffield. So yeah, this story I was going to tell you about the papers, we'll do a little transition here. This is a cultural appropriation, which...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But fair enough. You use on it. Well, I'll tell you what it is.
Cultural appropriation, yep.
Yep, cultural appropriation, that happens. Let me tell you. When Paul Simon... Are you familiar with Paul Simon from Simon and Garfunkel?
Yeah, Paul Simon.
That Paul Simon. When Paul Simon did his LP Graceland, which is a brilliant LP, he used African musicians on it. And it was a best-selling album, and there was a lot of African-style music, which he gave a sort of Western flavour to. But it was African music, and as a result of it, a lot of African musicians went more into the mainstream, or close to the mainstream, and, you know, made a bit of money out of it. But he was accused of cultural appropriation, you know, because he used the African music to...
Make money.
Yeah, exactly. And now we have almost... And that was in the 1970s. Now we have... or early 80s, possibly. Now we have a radio station which has closed down because of it being accused of cultural and, I suppose, sexual appropriation. It's called Radar Radio. And interestingly, it's owned by your former boss.
Oh, Mike.
Yeah, Mike, your friend Mike, actually. You know, who had all those lovely palatial toilets in Sports
Oh,
Direct.
Oh, my God, it was so bad. It was so bad.
We ought to explain, you did it, I think we did on...
episode one or something. I worked as a Christmas temp at Sports Direct.
And
it was
just
awful.
Went out with a smile on your face and a song on your lips every morning, didn't you?
In fairness, towards the end, I didn't mind it as much.
You didn't mind it too much, did you?
Because I, like, kind of made friends with people and stuff, so it wasn't as bad. But
towards the end, you could come home and you weren't crying.
I cried the first two shifts. I actually did cry when I got home. But it's also because I thought everyone hated me. Like, more so, like...
Well, anyway, he's running a radio station now called...
Oh, and the uniform was awful.
Radar Radio. Oh, and the uniform at Sports Direct was awful. DJs and presenters have joined an exodus after the station was subject to a string of allegations which were first raised by a group called... PXSSY Palace, which describes itself as, quotes, a queer WOC. Do you know what WOC is?
Women of Colour.
Yeah, well done. A queer WOC feminist DJ collective. Anyway, Pussy Palace, which I presume is what the X is for, accused the station of tolerating sexist, homophobic and transphobic comments on air. The collective also accused Radar of organisational racism, using members of our community as props. They go through cases of cultural appropriation. They've got a list here. Little Mix got into trouble when one of its members, Jessie Nelson... Jessie Nelson. It's only got one S, you see.
It's just Jessie.
But Jessie Belvin, who we played earlier, has two S's. Anyway, Jessie Nelson, 26, was pictured with dreadlocks.
Oh, yeah. But dreadlocks... White people just shouldn't have dreadlocks.
Okay.
Just dirt.
No, because they don't look good.
But also because it's part of religion, isn't it? It's part of Rastafarian religion.
It is,
and
it,
you shouldn't... Same as, like, I don't wear a yarmulke for style. Although if I did...
it's such a stylish item as well. Whenever
although
I see
if I did, it would be terrible.
Whenever I see a kid in a yarmulke, I say, wow, that looks good. That is such a stylish item.
No, you know what I mean? Like, I couldn't... To be honest,
You could wear half a yarmulke if you want to.
Yeah, like that wouldn't be that bad for me because obviously Jewish. I can't think of any other items of religious clothing.
Anyway.
A habit, because I'm not a nun.
Debate erupted online over whether parents who let their white daughters dress up as the Disney heroine Moana...
Oh, this is too much. It's too... Why? I get it a bit, though, because it's important not to take someone's culture, something that they really, truly, like, love... and make a joke out of it. But
I think Disney's already done that, hasn't he? I mean, it's
Disney. It's like Pocahontas.
Yeah, and Moana. Mulan. Is Moana.
Moana.
Moana, what's that from?
From Moana.
She's there's like a film called Moana, is there?
Yeah, yeah. Oh. She's like a Pacific Islander.
Ah, right.
I don't want to pretend that I know what I'm talking about when it comes to it, because it really comes down to people who have that culture and people of those minorities. But the stuff about not dressing up is like. I think I dressed up as Mulan.
You did.
She's my favourite Disney princess. But this is the thing. If you're not doing it, obviously you shouldn't do blackface or use sellotape. I've seen you use sellotape to change your eye shape, obviously. But is there a line where you're not doing it in... Is there a way that you can appreciate a culture without trying to make it your own or trying to disrespect it?
Well, it's time to say goodbye from this podcast, I think. So, should we play... You know that 20 seconds we played for review purposes of Jesse Belvin? Should we use that as our sign-off music this week? Because it does say, good night, my love.
Should we not have you sing?
That's a very good idea. Here we go.
Good night, my love. Pleasant dreams.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.